What gives? Podolsky asked. Maxwell took the microphone. Snake, this is Cricket, actual. What is your message? Over. Abort. 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 Acknowledge was all they heard. Say again, Snake. Say again. Abort the mission, Kelly said too loudly for his own safety. Abort. 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 Acknowledge. It took a few seconds. We copy your order to abort. Acknowledge. Mission aborted. Stand by. Roger, standing by. What is it? Major Vinh asked. We have information the Americans may try to raid your camp, the captain replied, watching as his men set up around the camp. Comrade Major, I am ordered to take charge until more units arrive. You are ordered to take your Russian guests to Hanoi for safety. But the orders come from General Jap himself, which settled matters very quickly indeed. Kelly could do nothing more than watch. 45, maybe more, was hard to count them as they moved. He was in danger, but he waited. Even so, he had to be sure he'd done the right thing, that he hadn't panicked, hadn't been a sudden coward. Hopeless. He'd done the right thing. There was no reason to add 25 more bodies to the ledger sheet that they kept in Washington. His conscience didn't have room for that kind of mistake, or for those kind of lives. God damn it, Dutch, now what? The mission's aborted, Kaz, Maxwell said quietly. But why? Because Mr. Clark said so, Ritter answered. He's the eyes. He makes the call. We still have a man in there, gentlemen. Let's not forget that. We have 20 men in there. That's true, sir. But only one of them is coming out tonight. And then, only if we're lucky, Ritter added silently. Maxwell looked up to Captain Franks. Let's move in towards the beach, fast as you can. Yes, sir. Hanoi. Why?
Because we have orders, Major Vinh snapped. Well, the Americans wanted to come here, hey? I hope they do. This will be no Song Tay for them.
A trip to Hanoi didn't thrill Grisanoff. It could be worse, he thought, as he collected his notes and slid them into a backpack. All of his work, now that Vinh had so kindly released it, back to him. He'd drop it off with General Rostakovsky, and with that in official hands, he could make his case for keeping these Americans alive. It was an ill wind, he thought, remembering the English aphorism. He could hear them coming. Cricket, this is Snake. Over.
We read you, Snake.
I'm moving. There are people on my hill coming my way. I will head west. Can you send a helo for me?
Affirmative. Be careful, son.
It was Maxwell's voice, still concerned. Moving now. Out. Kelly pocketed the radio and headed to the crest. With one last listen to the approaching NVA, Kelly picked a thin spot in the foliage and headed down the hill. The only thing that made sense at the moment was to put as much distance as possible between himself and the NVA, Kelly knew. Next came the necessity of finding something approximating an LZ so he could get the hell out of this place. Failure to get out before dawn would materially degrade Kelly's chances of ever escaping this country. He had 4 hours. He looked around. There, a clear spot across a twist in the road. It was a gamble, but a good one. A quiet little voice in the back of his mind told him that death was preferable to capture, of being unable to fight back. Fighting back, even against impossible odds, wasn't suicide. Okay, that was decided. He started moving. He got to the bottom of the hill. There, right across the road, was an open space, a meadow or something. That would do just fine. He grabbed his radio. Snake to Cricket, over.
This is Cricket. We're standing by.
Miserable roads, Grisanoff thought, even worse than those in Russia. The car was swerving in the mud. The driver was having trouble seeing in the rain. Grisanov closed his eyes in the rear seat, clutching his backpack. No sense watching. It might just scare him to watch. He waited, looking before crossing, listening hard. Nothing. Okay. About 5 minutes on the Hilo now. Kelly stood erect. As he crossed the road, he kept glancing up and down the road. Damn! It was too late. When the car came around the bend, he was right in the middle of the road, standing there like a deer in the headlights, and surely the driver must see him. What followed was automatic. Kelly brought his carbine up and fired a short burst into the driver's area. He laid a second burst in the front passenger seat. The car slammed directly into a tree. He ran to the car. Whom had he killed? Kelly wrenched open the door. The driver was dead, 2 rounds in his brain. The front passenger was the Vietnamese major, also hit in the head. Kelly heard a groan from the rear. He lunged inside, fighting another man, the Russian, on the floor. Kelly pulled him out. The man had a backpack clutched in his hands. Kelly clubbed the Russian to full unconsciousness, then quickly turned back to rifle the major's uniform for intelligence material. He stuffed all documents and papers into his pockets. What the hell do I do with you? Kelly asked, turning to the Russian. You're the guy who's been hassling our guys, aren't you? He knelt there, opening the backpack and finding whole sheaves of paper. Think fast, John. The Hilo isn't very far out now.
I got his strobe, the co-pilot said. Coming in hot.
The pilot was driving a Sikorsky as hard as the engines would allow. The rescue helicopter came to a steady hover 2 feet over the ground.
Did I see two people out there? The pilot called. Go, 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 another voice said over the intercom. Packs aboard now, go.
Getting the hell out of Dodge City now, the pilot pulled up and back to the river. Wasn't there just supposed to be one person?
Who the fuck is this? Irvin asked in the back of the helicopter.
Hitchhiker, Kelly answered. He shook his head. Explanations would have to wait. Irvin understood, handing him a canteen. Kelly drained it. That's when the shaking started. In front of the helicopter crew and 5 Marines, Kelly shivered like a man in the Arctic, huddling and clutching himself. What had gone wrong? The crew wanted to know. The answer was in the man they had just picked up. But who the hell was the other one? And wasn't that a Russian uniform?
Rescue One, we have Snake aboard. Over.
Rescue One, this is Cricket. Copy that. Standing by. Out.
Albie looked up.
Well, that's it.
Podolsky took it hardest of all. Boxwood Green had been his idea from the start. Had it been successful, it might have changed everything, might have changed the course of the war, and his son's death would not have been for nothing. He looked up at the others. He almost asked if they might still try it again, but he knew better. Washout. It was a bitter concept and an even more bitter reality for one who had served his adopted country for nearly 30 years.
Tough day, Frank Allen asked. Lieutenant Mark Charon was surprisingly chipper for a man who'd been through a fatal shooting and the rigorous interrogation that had followed it.
The damn fool! Didn't have to happen that way, Charon said.
Allen didn't have to tell him much. The procedures for the incident were straightforward. Charon would go on administrative leave for 10 working days while the department made sure that the shooting was justifiable.
I've got the case, Mark, Allen told him. I've been over the preliminaries, and it looks like you'll come out okay on this one.
Good day all around, Mark.
How's that, Frank? Charon said, taking a chair beside the desk. Got a call from Pittsburgh today. Seems there may be a witness for that fountain murder that Em and Tom are handling.
No shit! That's good news. What do we have?
Somebody, probably a girl, who saw Pam Madden and Helen Waters get it. Sounds like she's talking to her minister about it, and he's trying to coax her into opening up.
Great,
Charon observed, concealing his inward chill as well as he'd hidden his elation at his first contract murder. One more thing to clean up. With luck, that would be the end of it. 4 trucks, Kelly said when they'd landed. He gave his report in a matter-of-fact voice, suppressing his emotions. They just drove right in. A reinforced weapons platoon.
They showed up while the assault team was inbound, started digging in right away, about 50 of them. I had to blow it off. Greer and Ritter traded a look. No coincidence. Kelly looked at Maxwell. God, I'm sorry, sir. He paused. It would not have been possible to execute the mission. I had to leave the hill because they were putting listening posts out. I mean, even if we were able to deal with that.
We had gunships, remember?
Podolsky growled. Back off, Kaz, James Greer warned. Kelly looked hard at Podolsky. Admiral, the chances of success were exactly zero. You guys gave me the job of eyeballing the objective. With more assets, maybe we could have done it. It would have been messy, but, he shook his head, not this way.
You're sure? Maxwell asked.
Kelly nodded. Yes, sir. Sure as hell.
Thank you, Mr. Clark,
Captain Albee said quietly, knowing the truth of what he'd just heard.
Okay, Ritter said. What about our guest, Mr. Clark?
I fucked up, Kelly admitted, explaining that he'd let the car get too close. He reached into his pockets. I killed the driver and the camp commander, I think that's what he was. He had all this on him, Kelly reached into his pockets and handed over the documents. Lots of papers on the Russian. I figured it wasn't smart to leave him there. I thought maybe he might be useful to us.